If you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and again, if you have the Bible app, and go to the events with your location services turned on, you will find my small attempt at an outline. And so if you, as you're turning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 11, if you join with me in a spirit of prayer as you turn there. Father, we thank you for your word again. Lord, we are often clouded in our minds to know exactly what you are saying because we are fallible, but your word is not fallible. And so we ask for your mercy that your spirit would illuminate our minds and our hearts and that we would not just take this as a time of listening, but this would be a time of worship, that what is said and read would dive deep into the marrow of our spirit and heart, and that we would be changed not just because we want our lives to be better, but because we want to honor and glorify you. And so, Father, we humbly come to you and ask for your grace and mercy in this time. Protect us from error. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are 2 months into the new year. How are your New Year's resolutions going? If you're anything like me, they may be hit and miss. Some of the reason for that reality is because often resolutions are made hoping they will happen based on sheer willpower, and assuming that they're just going to happen because they're often just good things. And, you know, good things have to happen, right? Well, take, for example, our church's resolve to emphasize prayer for 2019. We did pretty well in January for our 24 on 24, and now we're doing it again today. And we'll be doing it again for the next 10 months. It won't happen, though, if we don't keep it before ourselves, if we don't ask for God's help. We are also planning on doing a concert of prayer on every fifth Sunday. And so have you and I made a commitment to be there and to engage in these things? Are we asking even now for God to prepare our hearts and mind? You know, resolutions need more than good intentions, and even more than just firm commitments. In order to endure in our resolutions, we need to make radical changes often, and we need help. Oftentimes, I think we make resolutions as a me and no one else, but if we're going to be successful in most things in life, we need help. When we want to get in shape, we don't need only desire, but we need a change in lifestyle habits, and it often helps to have someone we're accountable to help keep us on track. And it's the same thing when it comes to the kingdom of God. We must not only have the desire to change and grow in Christ, but we must also seek out the help and power of God, for it really is only in and through Him that we are change. It's not just sheer willpower, I will change. It is a miraculous, spirit-empowered reality. And so what we have here is Paul takes off from sharing about the Thessalonians being worthy of God's kingdom through the trials they endure. He goes into sharing what he is praying for them. It is always good to share with people not just that you are praying for them, but what you're praying for them. I don't think we often think of that, and we're going to get to that. It is an encouragement to people to know what you're praying for them. And so in Paul's prayer, he shares that their worthiness for the kingdom of God is something that is not dependent upon them, but is dependent upon God, and happens for God's glory. Again, as we've been talking about throughout 1 Thessalonians and even into 2 Thessalonians, your faith, the faith of believers, is not a sole individual endeavor. It is not a try harder, get it right next time endeavor. It is a reliance on the power and person of Jesus Christ through His Spirit's working in our lives. And so it's not a just bare your teeth and grit it faith. It is a faith that relies on someone else to produce it as we walk. Every step is a step of faith, trusting that we may not know where our foot is going to land, but we're going to trust that it is on Jesus that every step lands. And so take a look with me at the Word of God and verse 11 of chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first thing we see is that your worthiness before God, my worthiness before God, is dependent upon God. Okay, so let's walk through that and see that in the text, that I'm not out of my gourd. This is clear from Scripture. And so first Paul says Paul is always praying for the Thessalonians. Immediately, Paul shows the Thessalonians and us that anything in our faith is dependent upon God by the fact that Paul is just praying. Prayer is a sign that we cannot do it apart from God. So a prayerless life, which we all struggle with prayer, okay, so this isn't judgment raining down, but a prayerless life is saying to God, I don't need you. When you don't talk to your wife or your husband or your children, you're saying, I don't need you in my life. It's the same with God. If you're not praying, it is a passive way of saying, I can do this on my own. This is what prayer shows. Praying to God shows our dependence upon Him. Paul knows that any true and lasting change in his life or any believer's life can only come through God. And again, I believe there are two major reasons for prayerlessness. First is simple busyness. We have filled our lives, we have let our lives fill with many things that draw our attention and our time away from praying. And we can't blame anyone else for this. We can't blame our job. I'm just so busy with work. I'm just so busy with family. I'm just so busy, busy, busy. It takes time that you set aside and asking for God to motivate you. Again, don't do this without asking Him. You pray for help to pray. I know it sounds weird, but you need it. You need to pray for help praying. Prayer doesn't just happen because you want it to. I don't lose weight just because I want to lose weight, as you can see. I don't learn to drive a car just because I want to drive a car. It takes getting in the seat and doing it, and by law, you need to have someone there helping you learn how to do it. Really, if we think about anything we've done in life, it's because someone was there to help us do it. Even if you do an independent study in college where you report to a professor what you're doing, someone had to write the book to help you learn something. Everything that we do and learn in life is because someone has laid the groundwork or has offered some sort of help. And so we need this prayer. We need to be investing and looking to God for help. And I think the second piece that leads to prayerlessness is a misunderstanding of how God's work is accomplished, how God gets things done. God's work in the world around us and in our hearts and lives does not happen by man's willpower and wisdom. Anything that God does is supernatural because God is supernatural. He is divine. No human being can accomplish the work of God in people's heart apart from God. And so really let that sink in. If you want God to do something, then God's got to do it. If you want to see God change the world, change your life, you need to be invested in Him and long for His work. It's a supernatural thing for God's will to be done. It is not the most intellectual person. It is not the most powerful preacher. It is not the most humble disciple that changes the heart of people. It is only the power and provision of God that can do that. And yes, God is gracious enough to use our endeavors to kickstart it sometimes. So you hear a special word. Well, that word is dead if it's not filled with the power of God. So any change that happens, and this should be an encouragement for you. The fact that you're here enduring a main winter and not just home is because you see the value in being here to worship. That is not something the world sees. That is a Holy Spirit moment that you are here. Maybe some of you are here just out of sheer duty and obligation, but God has you here for a purpose and a reason, and that is because He is drawing you to Him through the spoken word, the sung word, the prayed word, the fellowshipped around word. And so God's work happens by God's power, and that is why we pray to Him, because we are dependent upon Him. And so praying that God would make believers worthy of His calling is what Paul's specifically asking. Again, notice that this is God's work. He prays that God would make believers worthy. If we go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul stated that God would make the Thessalonian believers worthy. And now he is praying that they would be made worthy of the calling even now. May God start the work that is completed when He returns now. May it be started. And this is what we call in the theological world of progressive sanctification. Progressive means it is a jaunt. It is a progress. We don't just all of a sudden arrive. If you think you've arrived with full holiness, I'll do it gently, but we can find some imperfections. Okay? We are all on this journey of progressively growing in our being made in the image of God, in the image of Christ specifically. Changing us according to His wills, His desires. And so this term, this phrase of make worthy, and it does not mean, this word worthy does not mean we are made worth it. Okay? It is not our worth it that sent Jesus to the cross. Oh, He's so stellar. He's so worth it to die on the cross. No, it is the character of God that sent Him to the cross to die for a people. Okay, so even if in the moment you don't think, I'm so worth it. No, that's not His motivation. It is because God is gracious, loving, kind. And it is His characters that sent Him to the cross, not because we're stellar people all the time. Okay, so let's get rid of that. Even if you're not worth it, Jesus went to the cross for you. So the gospel's for the depressed and the proud. And so it doesn't mean you are worth it or that we earned the kingdom. Rather, this idea of worthy is this idea of making one worthy, fitting for the kingdom of God, appropriate for the kingdom. So you're decorating a room and you're looking around. What needs to change in the room to make that room what you want it to be? And so we change the carpets in here, okay? we wanted to choose a color of carpet that was worthy of the room, that was appropriate for the room. Okay? That is the work of God in our hearts, that He is fitting us not just to be nice, kind, gentle people, but He is fitting us for His kingdom. He is working us, molding us so that we are fitting for the kingdom that will come. And so you don't have to worry about, oh, am I going to fit into the kingdom? He is going to make sure you do. Just as when you're invited to a wedding, most of us think, what should I wear? You want to dress appropriately for the wedding. Well, what does God call His coming? The wedding. He is fitting your wedding garments for the kingdom. And so John Stott says, there is no possibility of our establishing or accumulating merit in such a way as to deserve God's favor. No. When God called us to Himself through Christ, He did it in His free grace to the unworthy and the undeserving. And since then, He has been summoning us to live a life worthy of the calling with which we have been called. He has also been working in us in order to narrow the gap between what we were when He called us and what we should be and shall be. Okay, so there's this image that that I learned in seminary. No, it wasn't seminary. It was a sermon. I forget which sermon was. I think it was John Piper. It was probably John Piper. He's a default. But anyway, the reality is when we come to faith, we see how far from Jesus we are, how much not like Him we are. And the more we get to know of Jesus, the more further away He seems, because we just see how hard it is to be Jesus. But the reality is, in the further we feel from the cross and see we are, is actually the closer we are, because God is faithful in showing us how imperfect we are, that He is molding us and saying, all right, here's another area I'm working on to get the dross out of the metal to make you worthy. So the further you feel is actually the closer you are, because you're noticing God needs to do this work. God needs to be active. And so He is bridging, closing the gap of what we were. And some of us have trouble seeing what we are because we aren't our best gauges on where we are. That's why fellowship, that's why community, that's why fellow believers are important. And to be saying, hey, what do you see in me? How am I doing? How are you doing? And having these conversations, because we need one another to say, you know what, you're not perfect, but God's at work, and here's where I see it. God is doing this work. It's not just trying to get this self-help steps together. Paul is praying for God's work to do this because it is dependent upon God. And this worthiness is expressed in our resolve for good and works of faith by God's power. God works in that we resolve or strongly desire to do good. Our being made worthy is by the working out of our faith. That is how you see it practically. We trust God, and therefore good comes from us. You know, good doesn't come and then God accepts us. No, God accepts us and then the good comes. The fact that we resolve for good, the fact that we have works of faith, is because we are being made worthy. We trust God, good comes. And it's, again, dependent upon God. This resolve and work of faith is by what? God's power. Paul prays that God would work powerfully in the lives of the Thessalonians and us. Our worthiness and power for good works in this life, again, it's not based on our situation. Oh, I can't do this because life is hard, cancer, job isn't great. You know, our working and believing in God is not based on our situation or our power. Oh, I'm just not that articulate. I'm just not that strong. Don't get lost in how you feel. Get lost in who God is in your place. We are unworthy, apart from Christ. And I know that sounds like a bummer, but there are no better hands than Jesus' hands that were pierced so that you could be made worthy of his kingdom. Our being made worthy is by the working of our faith. God sent his Son to die for us and sent his Spirit to work in us so that we would be presented fitting on the day Jesus returns. And you know, oftentimes our prayers are for our situations to change rather than our hearts. And God actually rarely answers that prayer. And he more often answers the prayer of, change my heart in the situation. Paul doesn't pray for a change in the Thessalonian situation. Because what's their situation? Trials and tribulations, persecutions. And notice, Paul doesn't say, God, spare them from dying for their faith. Spare them from being picked on. Spare them from this and that and the other thing. No, in the midst of the trials, Paul is praying that they would be made worthy of the kingdom, that their lives would be changed by his power. God is in the business of changing hearts, not necessarily situations. And sometimes situations do change. And I would tell you, if your heart is changed in a situation, your situation is actually going to change because you look at your situation differently. If you look at your sickness as a way that God is forming you, you are going to come to your sickness in a completely different way. If you are looking at your job, your family situation, your relationship, and how it stands as an opportunity for God to be glorified and to work in you, you are going to approach it differently. And so therefore, your situation is going to change. And so he doesn't change our situation. He changes us in the situation. And in changing us, rather than changing the situation, we are being prepared for the day when we stand before God and he says what? Well done, good and faithful servant. And so I want to encourage you as we look at this and this prayer of Paul, pray this for yourself, that you would be made worthy of the calling, but pray it for one another. Don't make this just, Lord, do this in me, but do this in my brother and sister's life. Do this in Josh's life. Speed it up a little bit. Do this in Steve's life. Do this in Tony's life. Do this in Helene's life. Erica's had enough. She's good. But pray for this, that God would be working. And you know what? Pray this specifically, not for someone you're having an issue with. Not because you want them to change and stop getting on your nerves. No. But because this prayer, if you're asking for someone who's hard to love, that God would make them worthy of the calling, that is going to soften your heart towards that person because that means you're asking the best for them. This is a powerful prayer for each other. This prayer can and does bridge gaps of hurts and wounds. It is the salve of the gospel that we would have Jesus at work in our hearts and our lives. This works in our desires to see God's work in others' lives rather than our own. And so pray this for yourself, absolutely. But as soon as you're done, or I would say start off by praying for others and then God add me to the mix. Because we are not made worthy just so that we are better people. We are made worthy so that God is glorified and that his glory would be seen. So that's that transition phrase. This gives why this happens. So that the name of Jesus, our Lord, may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all about God's glory. All of it. Paul makes clear that the change we experience has its root in being God being glorified. When we are changed and made worthy, it is to the praise of God. so that the name of Jesus would be glorified in you, and so that Jesus looks great, that Jesus is the King, that Jesus is supreme in your life. That is why we live. That is why we move. That is why we have our being, so that Jesus' name would be honored and glorified and made manifest. The fact that God makes us worthy means we attribute it all to Him, and therefore Jesus is glorified. Because if this was just how great I was doing or you were doing, then you could pat yourself on the back. But it's not about patting yourself on the back. This is not a words of affirmation time. How great, grand, and wonderful, and doggone it, people like you moment. It's not that. It is all about what God is doing so that Jesus is glorified and Jesus is faithful to work in and through us. When we love each other, share the gospel, pray for one another, serve those who are in need, all of these things, we share the fact that we are doing it in Jesus' name. Notice he doesn't say, when Jesus is talking and he teaches about loving the least of these, he doesn't say, just give the glass of water, although that is good, that is a good act, but he says, give it in my name. Because it's not so that we look great. It's so that He looks great. And I'm telling you that if you're in the business of making Jesus look great, you will look great, not according to world standards, but according to the glory of God's kingdom. Because again, we live for His kingdom now in anticipation of His kingdom in the future. The fact that we are fully changed on the last day will resound into eternity that Jesus did a miraculous work in changing His people's lives. He is glorified now and will be glorified in eternity. We don't just glorify Him, hey, He showed up. But the fact that we live and dwell with Him in the kingdom will resound into eternity that God is worthy of glory. And we will also be glorified in that we will be and are being changed. God will be proclaimed as worthy on the last day, and we will recognize as His people on the last day that it was God's work. And on that day, we will reflect the glory of God. Remember, Romans 8, 29 to 30. The key to this passage, I think, is dwelt on in these famous verses. For those whom He foreknew and He also predestined to what? Be conformed to the image of His Son. That is why we are saved. So that we would be conformed to the image of His Son in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. And glorification means you are going to look like your Savior on the last day. It's not an if, it's a when for the believer. As G.K. Beale says, at Christ's coming, they will be perfected pieces of art, like sculptures perfectly reflecting God's marvelous handiwork and radiating back upon Jesus the glorious virtues that Jesus, together with the Father, worked in them. This is why the saints will marvel at God on that day, is because the work is done. And what? And all of this by the powerful grace of God. The Bible talks about grace in our lives in a couple ways. First is the standard. God's disposition of grace. God's disposition to do good for us when we don't deserve it. God is gracious that He doesn't just wipe us off the planet and in fact offers us salvation in Jesus Christ. That is grace. That is the most common use for grace. But the Bible also talks about grace as a power from God. It's not just what you say over a meal. It is the power of God. And that's what Paul refers to here. Grace is not a prayer over food. It is not just a gift given. It is also a powerful act of God in our lives and makes good things happen in us and for us, which we also don't deserve. And this is actually, again, what Pastor John Piper calls future grace. It is grace that God gives us moment by moment to live for him. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice we are not praying for tomorrow's bread. We're not asking for extra bread from yesterday that we carry over. This is actually a hearkening back to the Old Testament. If they tried to, and when Israel was wandering around and grabbing manna, if they tried to save it for the next day other than the Sabbath, what happened? Worms, mold, okay? And then they couldn't obviously get to what tomorrow had, because it wasn't tomorrow yet. They had to rely this and every day, give us this day our daily manna, was their prayer. Every moment we rely on him for his grace. And it would be really nice many days if we had tomorrow's grace today. But if we had tomorrow's grace today, we'd either probably squander it, or we wouldn't rely on him. And so this is powerful grace that gives us moment by moment, day by day, the ability to live for him, just again as the Lord's Prayer prays. God promises us powerful grace. Again, it is not the fact that he uses this describing word of power shows that it's not just some petty little gift. It changes you. It changes us. God is active. He works his power in and through us. And so this is where we need to be encouraged. God is active in our church. He is active in everyone who believes and puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we up and down, it's true. But he is at work for those who have truly bent their knee and heart to Jesus. And he is using your circumstances, he is using your situations to make you worthy of his kingdom by the power of his grace. It is all grace. As you work and desire good, as you work out your faith with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work within you. He is, hear this, O child of God who is wavering, not sure, he is at work in you. It is not a wish, it is a promise. A hope-filled promise that God is making his people in all of their circumstances, whether you're in a season of joy and just things can't get any better, or a season of lament, why is this happening? God is using it all to make you worthy of his calling and his kingdom for the glory of God, so that you would be glorified in him and him in you. Because when we are changed, that says to the world, this is my God. This is what I'm living for. This is the glory of his kingdom. And so let's pray. Father, change us. Make us worthy of your kingdom. Lord, mold the edges, sand the corners. Mold us into the image of your Son. It's painful. It's not always easy. It's definitely not as quick as we would like it to be, because we resist. That's just a reality. And so, Lord, help us to know that resistance is futile. It just is. You are at work in your people. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Help us to grow. Make us worthy of your calling. Help us to desire good and work out our faith for the glory of your kingdom by the power of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.